Paul, I want to ask you about body.
Yeah.
We say the body, we think we know what we mean by the body. But what is the body?
For me, tricky. The body for me is the receptacle of a lot of things. The body is necessarily socially charged, political. It's also sensitive, and yeah, I guess that would be what the body is in my work, but also in my life and how I experience it. The body is like the cause of a lot of at the origin of a lot of questions that I'm asking now and that I've asked. And there is this, yeah, it's a bit of an umbrella term as well, which I try to kind of avoid. I mean, I'm trying to be always super specific about the type of body that I'm talking to as well. And I guess the body is like, for me, as I said at the beginning, like a site of resistance, but also like a site of invention. Yeah.
Does it contain the mind?
Of course, I think also when I'm talking about, yeah, I guess so.
It's not a mind-body split.
No, I'm not really into that. And that's why I started to work with dance as well, because I was interested in the potency of dance to translate something beyond the words, and that would help me to articulate really complex things and feelings through a non-verbal way somehow. And for me, like that kind of distinction between the body and the mind, for me, my body is speaking as much as my mind speaks somehow. I can go on.
I was going somewhere else with the body,
okay.
Because there's also the body of work.
Yeah.
There's a body that's then a collection.
Mm-hmm.
There's the collective body.
Yeah.
There's the body of language.
Mm-hmm.
Makes up words that we use it as singular and plural, singular and collective.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you can say something more about the relation between collectivity and singularity that seems to be oscillating in the production of the work.
Yeah, there is this very interesting text by Audre Lorde, who is a poetess, who was a poet and writer. Afro-Caribbean, African-American, and from the Caribbeans. We wrote this series of texts talking about this idea of the collective being something that would use the strengths and the particularities of each individuals that constitute it. And I'm quite keen to explore this idea of the collective being something that would be acknowledging those differences and using it, and not something that would be homogenizing somehow. I'm always struggling with homogenization. Mm-hmm. And the language does that a lot, actually, I think. And even when I'm speaking about, you know, like when I was talking about the show at Sussman Gallery and using that word subjectivity or subjectivities, I tend to put a lot of plurals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in feminisms with the S. I think it's always super important for me to open up spaces and try to self-define, and being very careful of the way I'm speaking about the work and the people that are involved in my work as well. And I guess like to talk in more concrete way, when I arrived in London, so I was part of that study program called Open School East, where it's been really interesting for me, because as soon as I understood that having a space was being in a position of hosting other people, then it all made sense for me, and in terms of practice and magic. I'm talking about open skills.
Synchronicity.
And then I think a space is also being in the position of power of redistributing that space to someone. And so like that was, I was also questioning that my relationship to that through somehow the development of my career, and so come how when I was granted the residency at Sorsogon Gallery and I had this first solo show, which is so important, the idea of having a solo, a space of its own, of our own. I mean, I'm talking about like from a perspective of the art world somehow, and how I try to disrupt that by inviting other people in, and inviting different types of audiences, and trying to use different type of channels as well. So the use of music, the type of the communication around the show as well was very important. Yeah, so that's like something that I'm striving to kind of disrupt that notion of the individual. Although I'm fully aware that when, for example, I'm invited to do a show, then it's my name would be the big one, and then no matter how, even though I can really, I've had sometimes like that the names are like just my name is bigger than is not bigger than the others and blah blah blah, and but then it's always also the politics behind that and communication, and also the what people would retain or like keep from that information, I think, and that is tricky to have a control on, I think.
In the word "hôte," as you know, there is its dual meaning. It means both host and guest.
That's why I was like, I thought that was a quite interesting figure to spread around for that specific event, because I think that question of hosting through art is very key. I think the artist that I'm interested in is always because I felt almost invited to their practice somehow. There is always like space for me to navigate the work somehow and to like interact with the work in something that is not authoritarian somehow.
And but as a guest.
As a guest, yeah.
But the guest is one who leaves. The bad guest is the one who wouldn't leave. So
it's I don't know, like I don't know actually.
And it is
exactly.
Emma, we do have some microphones that you can project.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I was really struck watching the silent film right at the beginning about the absence of the body, and then tying that up later when you were talking about when you're invited to perform, you're now quite picky about under what circumstance that happens. And it made me think about something I've only recently come across, but the idea of opacity. Edward Glisson, and that kind of when you are a, I don't like using the word body now, but when you are a body or a mind that has been scrutinized or made exotic or mythologized, that the refusal to be, or the choice not to be visible, that sometimes is a strategy.
It's it's something that I'm tending to, I think, because as I said, like sometimes I was just performing, invited to perform, I was performing, and then I was left with a bunch of feelings that I couldn't process, and part of it was like this really intense post-performance blues, I guess, but also like some social violence of me being in a space where you know, like right after a performance, people would just like come at me and touch me or talk to me, and then people that I don't know. And I don't know, it's like, it's still something that I'm trying to process. And I think that's why I started to work on stuff that were kind of removed from the presence of the body itself, although it's really important for me to, in that kind of relationship with dance, is kind of preventing me to completely remove myself from the body. But maybe it would be in the next project that I'm working on, maybe that it would be that it's not me performing, but then I'm also really aware of the vulnerability of the person that I'm working with, and that I need to make sure, again, that responsibility, I need to make sure that they would be aware of that, that potential of getting, like, I don't know if the word is right, but spoiled by that, or like how we can hit you back. And that notion of opacity in glissant is super interesting, because it's also in connection with the deep sea, and I find that quite fascinating. But I guess it's like, it's where I am at the moment, is how much of body that I want to present. And on another level as well, it's just because I am trying to kind of build that new lexicon of mine that would talk about the body through something else somehow, like, or how you can reference to human issues through non-human forms, for example. And that's clearly a strategy. I'm always talking about my work or the parameters that surrounds my work as strategies as well, because it really feels like a battle sometimes. But that's something that I try to keep as open as possible and always engage, like, the people that I'm working with, whether it's a curator or a collaborator, in those conversations. Yeah.
Thank you, and thanks for your talk. It was really good.
Thank you.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I really enjoyed that, most of it. But you mentioned earlier on ancestral silence.
Mm-hmm.
How do you hear it?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Ancestral silence.
Ah.
How do you hear it?
So that's like that bit of the writing is part of that book from Patrick Chamoiseau, which is a rewriting, can I say that,
mm-hmm.
of Robinson Crusoe. And I guess, for me, as I read it, is how spaces can also talk about history. And like, for example, how a body of matter can contain history. And I think that ancestral silence is something coming back from a past time that would interact with the present. I don't know if it makes sense at all, but in...
Where the absence of history or of the account may speak.
Or like how, yeah, or I guess just that on a very physical level, like that sound that would have travelled, that silence that would have travelled time, for example.
I ask you this question because I think it was last year, last summer, in the studio, I was drawing something.
Uh-huh.
And I just wrote on the wall, ancestral memory.
Ah.
So when I read that, I thought, there's a connection. Now, how do we hear
mm-hmm.
or become aware of these things? Is it in our DNA?
Mm-hmm.
Is there an intelligence other than our brain that we're open to feel these things or be in tune with it?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what I briefly talked about, like the memory of water and that whole speculation about the so looking at the body, and especially like black and brown bodies as archive, it's all started because I've noticed that in the mainstream cinema, how the black body was narrated through slavery and colonial history consistently, but was not offered any kind of perspective. And then I was like, because, like, for example, how racism can really impact my body because there is all this level of history. And, for example, Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna spiral over that, but I don't want to. The idea of when I discovered those research about the memory of Wata, then I started to think that maybe the body, that's where the archive resides, actually, in the waters of my body, and they know more than I know myself of myself, and how they passed from a body to another, and yeah.
And so on into the ocean.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
There's also the moment when one lights the Shabbat candles. It's always the woman who lights them who has to carry history.
Mm-hmm.
And you close your eyes on the lighting and you remember. Mm-hmm. And you remember for everyone at that moment. And it's very informal,
yeah.
but it's an act of memory,
yeah.
That is performed.
Yeah, definitely. And that like matriarchal thing as well is quite in relation to that. It's because it has also a specific resonance to my own like lineage somehow, because my father is from that small clan in the middle of Congo that has a matriarchal structure, and the highest figure of my family is that woman called Nendu, my great grandmother, who had several husbands. She was polyandrous. And the show at South London Gallery was addressing that as well through the music and the use of those traditional songs of the clan. And the next performance at Tate as well is completely dedicated to her somehow. And trying to see where, through dance, like, where she left a print in me somehow, and recalling that history somehow, yeah. Testing the waters of my body. Yes?
Another good reason for people to move down the microphone. Person has less distance to travel.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just wondering, how do you begin a piece of work, and how does it lead to you at the end of moving down?
How do I begin working? Yeah, in the first place, there is this intense moment of thinking, I guess, where nothing is really produced outside of my mind, and reading a lot of stuff, it always there is this really long moment of gestation, and then usually the production is quite quick because I'm. I know, usually when I'm starting an object, I know exactly how it's going to end up somehow, although there is like obviously variations. But I have this really terrible way of doing that is not like in the making that I'm, weirdly with object, it's not in the making that I'm resolving things. But with dance it's different because it's really through like the experience of me moving that I start to understand things, and now I'm trying to use dance like really as a thinking process to inform the object as well. So yeah, but it's a lot of things that are, yeah, it's always, I always describe it as a magma somehow, like something that would have several layers, and some layers are fresh and some others are already stratified. And there is this idea of building on something as well. The work is quite like how, for example, as a young emerging artist, I've been invited to do those three shows, and it was like in a short period of time, and I was thinking like practically how do I make this happen and useful to myself, and so I thought that I would just use the shows as research moment as well, and how they would feed amongst them and how feed themselves and feed off of one another, yeah, and the work would evolve as well, so nothing was really fixed, and it's often like super hard because whenever someone is coming to you and asking you to show works, you know, they want to have an idea, a clear idea of what the work's going to be, so you can just like, now I'm pretending, I know, and I'm just like throwing ideas and stuff, but I know that I'm pretty sure that it would change completely. I mean, I have like the structure of it, of the shows, but clearly it's like till the last moment, because also the space is so important in my work, and but it's that, yeah, several elements coming together at once in the end, yeah, which is quite frightening sometimes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'd like to ask you about the curtains.
Yeah.
And the different...
Yeah, the curtains
what,
is...
What do they do?
Yeah, so the curtains is something that is recurring in my work. I think it's... It first started with the infinite love that I have for Félix González Torres.
Yeah.
And then the curtains is also talking about a fragile barrier somehow. Mm. So some performances, like for example, the performance I did will happen behind a series of curtains, like transparent curtains, and onto which a video would be projected. So that kind of idea of the protection, but something that is also permeable, and I really love that capacity. In the context of the show at Southland Gallery, it was a bit different. It was more like, how do I reference to the domestic aspect of the space? I knew that I didn't want to make a perfect white cube, for example, and try to erase that, the history of the place. So it was funny. It was really interesting for me to have this play with curtains, that sculptural object that took the form of a curtain onto the window, like just as almost functional.
Because they were in a particular way.
Yeah.
But they weren't really curtains.
No.
But they acted as curtains.
Exactly.
In a way that those layers
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they're both like functional, because for example, in the case of the Southland Gallery show, I knew that I wanted to present video, but I didn't want to be in a dark space. I wanted the space to communicate with the outside. Mm-hmm. So there was this function of just breaking a bit, like the light from the outside. But there is something also very poetic in its fluidity and the fact that it's also moving. It's quite welcoming as well, I think. And in the show at the Assembly Point, the performances, I was playing with the curtains as well. So they were moving and they were also affecting the video, therefore.
Mm. Can I also ask you about what you are wearing?
My clothes?
Not today. Not now. In the first video piece, when you appear and dance in the concrete structure,
yeah,
and the movements that you're making that are, I suppose, dancing, and then there are little breaks when you're adjusting your trousers, and I became really conscious of that.
Of that, of the constraint of that.
Of the constraint of that, yeah. And as though you were using that, and that drew attention to this body and movement in space, that broke the fluidity of the gesture, this little awkward
moment.
But that was repeated.
There are several reasons. First of all, because it was the first time that I would shot myself in a video dancing, and that's something that I would do in clubs just because of practicality somehow. But I didn't think about the clothes that I would be wearing for that, being comfortable or not. I knew that I wanted something quite casual, but beyond that, I didn't really think about it much more than that. But on the other end, I was also interested in that bit of the video being very clear about the fact that it was an improvisation and being quite spontaneous and not editing down to something that would be very efficient and just like would look like a perfect kind of choreography. I'm really interested in those kind of little elements that where like this, those interstices. But then now it's different, because whenever I'm performing, I'm thinking of an outfit that becomes almost like a kind of a costume. But it has to be practical now. It has to be like, I have to feel comfortable in it, because otherwise, I'm not in a position of being able to, you know, just perform as I want. So, but they are very important. They are very important in the ways that they are also another aesthetic element of the work, so they have to be sought out, yeah.
We have time for one more question, or we can end, and please join us in the tap on the station for a drink and You can ask the question that you didn't ask then. Actually, you just leant forward eagerly.
It could be a comment as well.
No, I've just got lots of ideas from the memory of water, from the sky to the river, to having a pee and coming round again.
All right, go on, quick. Last one, quickly.
Okay, it's a comment, and you probably know about this, but when you were talking about the memory of water, it made me think of, is it Philippe Guzman?
Uh-huh.
Who did the film Nostalgia for the Light, but he did the film The Pearl Button, where water is the metaphor for the Chilean
genocide. No, I didn't know that. But yeah, that
it's one. A very interesting film where you took it, the body of water is... I can't quite put it into words, but I think it's quite interesting.
Okay.
I'll email Sharon the details.
Great, thanks.
But also the water of the island, completely embedded in colonial history.
Yeah, definitely.
Movement to the islands.
Yeah, and what the stories that water contains as well, in relation to that, yeah, of course.
It's a diaspora.
Yeah, exactly.
Symbol.
Exactly. Diasporic. Kind of,
More than a symbol.
Yeah.
It's both a symbol and a symbol.
Yeah, it is. It actually is, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And you will be showing in Venice in the diaspora
pavilion. Yeah. That would be quite interesting, actually, yeah. And I'm presenting a series of curtains and few objects that are, talking about water in relationship to migration and... body displacement and part of the work is dedicated to that man that I don't know if you heard of it, Pate Sabali, who jumped from the Rialto Bridge in the Grand Canal, and he was just granted an asylum status, yet he couldn't deal with life anymore in Italy, and he jumped from the bridge and then was shot by all those, filmed by all those people around. And
this is very recently, you know about this, you have seen
it. It was
footage.
About like, maybe a month and a half ago. And I couldn't showing works just beside the space where, the place of the, that even where it happened, not address that idea of that body returning to the water and then just... all those questions of, really complex issues of migration and,
We're going to stop now because I think we should. And thank you very much for coming,
thanks,
for
everyone.
Being good guests.
Yeah.
And thank you for being a very good guest as
thanks.
Well.
Thanks.
Anyway, we're going to go. So Emma Hall,
hi. Very lovely to meet you.
Emma's a PhD student here and an artist and writer.
I want to offer my apologies and commit to all the medic appointments for Susan's opening.
Okay,
of the
show. Yeah, no worries.
But really grateful.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi.
thanks very much for that.
I haven't got time to go into the tech, but just in terms of ancestral memory, I think the question about you moving your clothing, I mean, I felt very strongly that there was continuity in ancestral stuff going on in terms of you talking about matriarchy and women.
Yeah, exactly.